Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. And we do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. And it's all about basketball. Of course, Richard Lucas, you know, despite the fact he's the greatest center in Oregon since Blair Rasmussen, he played with the great Terrell Brandon. He's a 6'8" guy, intimidating guy, nice guy, but he's a wimp also because he takes the summer off. And I stick with this year round. But anyway, it's worth it because we can bring on guests like we had to have tonight. But I am Greg Crawford, and you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, or you can go to my launching this weekend of my new web sports page at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. And we'll have a lot of stuff on there, basketball, you name it, all levels of basketball, a lot of Northwest Conference stuff. And speaking of the Northwest Conference, Kip, I own the outstanding coach at Willamette University, who we love talking to, is our guest tonight. Kip, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Greg. Thanks for having me back. Always love talking to you.
Very good, and thanks to all the Bearcat faithful for the great retweets and your retweets and the Northwest Conference retweeting it. We're all one big happy family, and quite frankly, it's my conference. It'll always be my conference, and I'm proud to be a graduate of it. And speaking of the conference, Kip, it's not only got good basketball, good players, it's loaded with great coaches.
Absolutely. You know, I think that it makes my tell recruits all the time. They get a great education. If they're basketball junkies, this is the best league in D3 to play in, because you get an education every night. It's stressful for my staff and I because we've got our work cut out for us and our hands full dealing with all the great coaches and great schemes and great game plans we have to deal with. But, you know, for our players, if you play 4 years in the Northwest Conference, you're going to get exposed to every style of basketball you can imagine, and it's going to be really, really intelligent and very effective schemes, and you're going to come out of it, you know, that much more enriched in your own basketball at Hoops IQ.
Kip, I asked you this question last time we were on, but you gave such a great answer. I want you to answer it again because we got new listeners tonight. We got a lot of people listening in Australia, believe it or not, and basketball is hot in that country. What a great sports country they are, but you know, when you don't have any coaching changes, what are the pluses and minuses of that when you're going up against the teams in your league and there's no coaching changes this year in the Northwest Conference,
right,
which is very unusual for a basketball
it
conference?
It is. You know, I think if you take a look across some of the other sports in the NWC, there's been big overhaul. You know, it's kind of cyclical. You know, some years you're bound to have three or four changes. And like you said, this year we got everybody back. So I think there's both sides of the coin to what you deal with as a coach. Number one, people are going to be used to your tendencies. People are going to have some film, you know, on the past couple of years or even just last year, what you've done. It's a challenge for us because we know how good some of these guys are and some of the systems they've done. But everybody in our league is so adapted, so able to change their systems to fit their talent. You know, if you take a look at Pacific, and you know Coach Tim Cleary's group is going to be just hard-nosed, tough, physical. But at the same time, the way they go about achieving that identity is different. You know, he'll adjust. Here he had Daniel Zatani. They were different than the year they had Colin Wiester running around shooting threes. But, you know, at the same time, his teams are all going to be very physical and very tough. So, you know, you take a look at like a Whitman's going to be very up-tempo, but the way Coach Bridge goes about getting them to pressure you and the exact places the traps are coming from, or, you know, that hectic style they play, it's still going to be tweaked a little bit, and it's going to be different from the year before. But, you know, for me, you have a sense of the identity of the team. You might not know the X's and O's until you sit down and see film from this exact team. But the identities are going to be there. And then on the flip side, they're going to know us too. They're going to know what I like to do. They're going to know some of the things we try to achieve, but hopefully we've got enough wrinkles and enough new faces that we prize them with some things as well.
Kip, would you like to, you know, anyone that doesn't think I don't like the Northwest Conference, they probably shouldn't be listening or they're crazy, actually. But
right,
would you like to Would you like to see a 10-team league?
You know, I think there the benefits to that would be the schedule. You know, I think we could schedule in a way that's a little more equitable across for everybody. You know, you and I have talked about that a little bit on the air as well, and I know we've had a ton of discussions ad nauseum behind the scenes as a coaching group about the schedule. And I think the 10 would help that. There'd be some easier ways to travel, some ways to maybe get rid of some midweek games and get them back to some more rest on the weekends, maybe a Friday, Sunday, Thursday, Saturday type situation. And I think it could help an expansion of the conference tournament as well, which I've always been in favor of. You know, I think you take a look across D3, a lot of leagues have a lot more teams in the postseason, just their own conference tournament percentage-wise of their whole group than we do. And I'd like to see that opportunity for more of our teams and more of our coaches, frankly, in our league that work their butts off. And it's hard to get in that top four, trust me. You know, we made it 1 year, and it was like climbing Mount Everest. And I know some other great coaches in this league deserve an opportunity to be in that environment as well. So I think there's some benefits to the 10. Obviously, there's some academic barriers. You know, your university, your institution better have its priorities right, and its academic ranking and where it needs to be to fit our group, which is, you know, highly intelligent, highly respected liberal arts colleges from across the country. Northwest Conference has a lot of respect in that regard. So I know there's some barriers, and smarter people than me obviously, you know, can figure those things out, but I absolutely would be in favor of 10.
You know, I've developed a few friends around the basketball world only because I'm old. I have a friend that coaches on the East Coast Division I basketball, and I always make the mistake of you know, how are you going to parlay last year? And he says, Greg, forget it. I don't even talk about last year with the team.
Right.
You made the playoffs last year. Do you have that philosophy, or are you going to you're going to glean off that and parlay off that and bring that up to your players and say, we got to strive higher? How do you handle that yourself?
Yeah, no, and I think you hit the nail on the head as far as what the challenge is for our group going forward. I think it's easy, you know, if you come off a year that you didn't perform up to expectation, or, you know, the kids feel, you know, they left a couple games, a couple wins out on the table, it's easy to get them motivated by bringing those things up. Hey, remember this game. Hey, we're, you know, on your end of your conditioning run, you remind them of the last 5 seconds when we didn't get a stop. The harder thing, and I think what we're facing this year, and it's the first time, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it's a problem that we're going to have to deal with as a group together, is how do you deal with heightened expectations? Hey, you did this. That was great, but we want to go farther. How do we not rest on what we did one time? You know, and I think we're lucky enough in our league that we've got a champion in Whitworth that's been doing it for a decade. So I don't think there's any of us that aren't named Whitworth that can sit back and go, hey, we've really accomplished something. I think that's the challenge for me as the coach, is to figure out, okay, what pieces and what things, whether it was, you know, the way we approached the season off the court, in the weight room, in the classroom, schematically, our video, whatever it was, let's take the things that worked. But also, like we mentioned earlier tonight, let's make sure we're sprinkling in enough new things, enough refreshing things, you know, to perk their itch, especially the returners. You know, I think the freshmen are coming in excited to be a part of a program that's coming off a semifinals appearance. But the returners, it's like, hey, let's figure out a way to get that same hunger back in them, which I think that some of that has to do with your leadership in your team, not just from you and your coaches, but from, you know, I'm lucky enough to have 3 seniors captains this year. So I think there's a lot of things that they're already thinking about and talking about amongst themselves to keep guys motivated. And, you know, and really, to be honest with you, I think motivation is the wrong word. You know, it's something I'm trying to teach myself to stop using, because, you know, I don't think you can depend on motivation. I think you can depend on drive and discipline. There's going to be a lot of things in life you're not motivated to do. You got to do it anyway. So, you know, we can't count on, oh, my gosh, we're sky high, jacked up for this one game. Well, what happens the next night? You know, in our league, it's Friday, Saturday. You know, we got to have the discipline and the drive to push through even when we're not feeling like we can run through a wall, which, you know, in life is going to happen. You know, when I get it, my kids are waking me up at 5 in the morning. I'm not jumping for joy every day. But there's a day you got to get up and do it anyway. So I think that's part of what we're trying to figure out and excited to start with. Our freshmen get on campus tomorrow. It's basically the start of the season in my mind, even though obviously you can't get on the court for a while. But it's an exciting time.
Kip, what is, you know, speaking of the freshmen starting tomorrow, and I know that there's rules about contacting mm-hmm. players and all this stuff
right.
and everything, but when you get that squad together for the first time What's maybe one thing you want them to know about you that they may not know before you say it? And I realize it's a team game, but on the other hand, you are the boss.
Right. Yeah, I think it's part of it is, our first team meeting is in a week. The freshmen will be here for freshman orientation opening days. The returners will fly in on Cloud 9 Saturday, Sunday, and we'll get going next week as far as our expectations and just a gathering. And I'm always searching for ways to refresh my message and present myself in a new light, even not just for the freshmen, but, for a guy like Alex Brown, for us, who's going to be a fifth-year senior. He got his medical waiver approved, so he'll get his year back after tearing his patella. AB knows me pretty well inside and out. Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to approach this meeting? I don't want it to be the same old, hey, there's a whiteboard, coach is writing on it, and we're all falling asleep. We're always trying to do different things. We introduce each other, hey, you got to tell the team something you don't know about them. I might tell them I got a 6,000 edition comic book collection in my garage. I'm the biggest nerd you've ever seen that likes to play basketball and coach it as well, but I also like me Batman and Superman. So, those type of things, I think kids are really appreciative nowadays of some honesty from their coach and some vulnerability. Like you mentioned, it is my program. My name is associated with everything we do. But at the same time, I'm not a dictator. There's a lot of things that we got to take ownership of as a group and work to get to together. It doesn't matter if I don't want to be the guy cracking a whip and making them drive us there. I'm trying to help them find a way to get there. So it's definitely part of the coaching business. Why I read a lot of books. And I like to listen to a lot of smarter coaches that have been doing it a lot longer than me and try to find some tricks. And whether it's even ball and soccer's first team meetings last year when they started in the fall, just to see, hey, what does Coach Fowles do? What does Coach Phoebe do? And try to steal some things. So I think it's a continual learning, professional development situation, but you got to keep your message fresh. Kids nowadays, the Twitter generation, we talked about Twitter earlier, they'll tune you out and go to the next retweeted picture before they'll listen to a boring message. So that's part of our job as coaches.
Chip, I know that you get occasionally a chance. You know how many coaches I interview all the time.
Right.
And try and promote the game of basketball, and you're always appreciative of that. That's my goal because I love the game so much, and I love the underdogs that don't get a lot of publicity. But I've been asking the question of a lot of coaches because parents ask me, do we have too many basketball camps these days? Because they're saying, well, where do I send my young people? Have we kind of diluted the process?
I don't know if it's the basketball camps. I honestly believe that we might have too much of a focus on specialization. In the summertime, if you're a basketball, if you want to be recruited now, kids are under the impression that I better play 88 AAU games this summer. And if I don't play 88 AAU games, I better be at 4 showcases and 5 camps and, a couple of different things. They don't ever play another sport. They don't get exposed to, different coaching techniques, different skill sets you would need to compete in other sports that could help you in hoops. And I don't think they ever get to be a kid. They don't get to go on. I ask recruits all the time, hey, what vacation do you guys take? And unfortunately, for a lot of them, I didn't have time for a vacation. I was in 6 tournaments. So I think that it's more specialization. And the powers that be, whether that's us as recruiters or, shoe companies, whoever it may be that's running the underbelly of basketball, we've convinced kids and families that if they don't live and breathe it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, their entire youth existence, they're never going to get where they want to go. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I think there's something to be said for individual camps. You can go, you might not even take a buddy. You go, you got to meet new people. I tell people all the time at our pro hoop camp, I'm from Billings, Montana, and I'm out in a camp in Salem, and I got 20 coaches on my staff that I never would have met without basketball, and a lot of that is just going to a camp and not knowing anyone and getting used to presenting myself and meeting people. So I think there's a balance you can find. I don't know if it's not all AAU's fault. It's not all camp's fault. It's not all showcases' fault. I think it's just a balance. And sometimes we got to take a step back, too, and not take ourselves so seriously. Kids need to have a vacation at Disneyland, for goodness sakes, and enjoy being with their parents. We'll have plenty of time with them later on.
Very good. I'm just going to speak here for just about a minute, Kip. You don't have to say anything. I want to brag a little bit about you. I ask a lot of people to go on the radio with me. A lot of people fire back a bunch of questions that actually waste my time. You know, it's kind of like when I have tickets to something and people ask who's playing, I go on to the next person and everything. But you never fail to come on. Sometimes I give you short notice, and I really appreciate that. And the second part of this is, per usual, you're going to get in a few moments ask me the one question. Every time I bring somebody on a half an hour show, they get to ask me one question. So I know you usually have a great one for me. So we'll forge ahead. Kip, what do you like at halftime? How do you handle halftime at Willamette University?
Great question. That's a great one. You know, I think it's different. You know, I think every coach will probably have something very different from his counterpart about how they like to go about it. You know, when we come down, you know, let's say we're at home. You know, when we get down to our team room, we've got a much quicker way down after our renovation, so we can get in the room at about the 14-minute mark or that 15-minute halftime. And I want to put three of my quickest thoughts on the board when the guys are fresh up and sitting down. Right, I come in, I put my three just off the top of my head, and sometimes it might not be very quiet the way I'm saying, but I want to put those three thoughts up there and tell them to chew on that while I go out with my staff. You know, I think it's very easy as a coach, especially if the half didn't go the way you want to go in there and lamb blast kids and scream and yell and then send them back up, and the whole time you didn't use your assistant. You know, I'm lucky enough, I trust all three of my guys, you know, 100%. I value their opinion, so I want to make sure I give them time to talk to me, you know, whether it's Coach Willis talking to me about our offensive situation, Coach Mack talking to me about our defensive situation. Coach Lomax does a great job of just calming me down a lot of the times. That's his job to make sure I get myself refocused. But we do at least 5-6 minutes as a group, and then we can go back in and talk to the guys about what we think is important. But I try to follow that as much as I can. Give them three things to talk about together without me in there. Get some feedback offensively and defensively from my staff, and then go back in with a plan. But I try to get them out of there by 6 or 5, you know, somewhere around there they have time to go back up. One of the things we've been fighting a lot for the last couple of years, and it's not just us, I've noticed it with other teams, is we send them back up. We want them to get loose, get shots. But some of the guys just like to sit on the side of the bench and kind of decompress a little bit. And it's foreign to me, because I was a guy that wanted to get shots up and get loose when I was playing. But some of my guys really do need that extra time with no noise, just sitting on the side, kind of not zoning out, but just kind of focusing in themselves. And that's something we've had to kind of get used to. But it's worked for a lot of our players that have been successful. That's a good thing for them. So it's a combination of things at halftime.
One of the many neat things about the Northwest Conference, Kip, is that you are a graduate of Willamette. When Larry Doty was coaching at Linfield, of course, he was a graduate. Denari Foreman was a graduate, and
yep,
Lewis and Clark still coaching there. Justin Lund is a graduate of PLU. I still can't figure that one out. And I love Justin. It's now at Puget Sound, but I think that's really neat, and it really says something to me.
Yeah, you know, and I completely agree with you. There's so much passion and pride, and I think a true belief from all of us in this league about what our programs and our university stand for. You know, it makes it very competitive. All of us really hate to lose to one another, but at the same time, there's a level of respect that, you know, I know Dr. Denari's a Lewis and Clark guy through and through. You know, I know how much Justin believes in what he's built there with Logger basketball. I mean, you know, when Dotes was coaching, you know, that was two games you circled all the time, not just because of Willamette Linfield, but because it was Larry Doty. You know, it was the Wildcats and Larry Doty. So I think it makes for a great environment, you know, to coach in and exist in and compete in, because you know you're getting that other guy. He really believes in his program and his school. You're not getting a half-hearted effort from them. You're getting everything that they're putting their heart and soul into it, just like you are, and it keeps you developing as a professional, because you can't afford to slip up and relax, because I know how much TC is going to grind at Pacific. I know how much Eric Bridgeland is going to grind recruiting for Whitman. I know how smart Matt Logie is at Whitworth. There's not a lot of time for us to sit on any type of laurels we think we've accomplished. We got to keep moving, or these guys are going to catch us and pass us.
Skip is overall is Linfield Willamette's biggest rival, athletic rival, or is that an inaccurate statement on my part?
No, I think that's still true. No, I think that's 100% still true. You know, I think it starts with football every fall. You know, as dominant as Linfield has been nationally, you know, the Bearcats have found a way to sneak in there and beat them like last year, which was an upset. And I think you got to have both sides winning occasionally for a rivalry to still exist. I know we circle our dates with Coach Rosenberg and the Wildcats still as it internally as a group. It still means a lot to us. I know baseball coach Swick, you know, when Scott Brosius was there chasing that program. I know Coach Damian Williams in softball, you know, Linfield's who they're chasing, and that's a national power. So, no, I think it's still there. I think there's more mutual respect maybe than when I was playing against Grant Ebright and everybody. And we grew to like each other after we finished playing and got to know each other. But at the time, it was pure hatred. but I think there's more mutual respect between the two athletic departments, you know. But I think the rivalry is still there. And that's something we try to educate our guys on. And I think it's part of, you know, the core of what you do is, hey, who the history? Why is that guy up on our Hall of Fame wall, Coach? Why is that guy's picture in the locker room? And why do you keep talking about the purple and red? Well, there's a reason, you know. So I think that's part of kind of our responsibility. And like you said, we're lucky that I lived it, you know, that a lot of other coaches in the league have lived the rivalries that exist, and we can pass those traditions on.
And, you know, you've got great facilities at Willamette. You really do. And
absolutely.
I know everybody would like to have better facilities, but you should be very proud of them. And I think no matter what level, Kip, you're at, you know, no matter Division III is the Northwest Conference or the Oregon Ducks, you really have to have good athletic facilities.
Absolutely. I think not just because of the functionality of it, you know, our new $3 million renovation at Sparks Center, you know, it just added space. Football and basketball can be in the lift at the same time, where before, you know, you're blocking times off and teams can't get in. You're on top of each other, whether it's the new team room, which has enough room for every single player to have a locker, those type of things, functionality. But also I think it's a commitment that the kids feel from the school that athletics is important, you know, that what they do is important and means something. I think that goes to the alumni base and parents involved in your program, too, when you can show them, hey, guys, come in on the alumni game. Make sure you come into the team room and see this new space, see the new flat-screen TV, see the wireless hookup, see the new weight room. I think that's important for people to still feel that Willamette connection. And maybe what they did in the past helped contribute to it, and there's a reason we're still going forward. And you know, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. When you walk through our new film room, that we got, you know, there's no reason the kid can't see a cut up of him missing a switch on a screen on an 80-inch flat screen. It's right in front of him. So, you know, those type of things I think are huge. It's been big on recruiting, not just because of how it looks, but the importance the recruit feels that the school has in what they're trying to do as a student athlete.
Kip, one of the things that is stressed so much in sports nowadays, people got the T-shirts with, you know, we are family, we mm-hmm. are a team. They have a slogan and everything, but, you know, sometimes talk is cheap,
right.
And I'm not making fun of any of that. What is the key to having a successful team? Now, I work in a cancer unit, as a lot of people know, in a major
mm-hmm.
hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And if we weren't a team, the alternative is not real good. So it's
right.
Sports is not quite the same level, but yet it has the same intensity.
Yeah. You know, and I think I've evolved in just because of talking to smarter coaches, like I said, than myself. You know, I think in the early part of me being the head coach of Willamette, we had a lot of, like you said, slogans and catchy phrases. And that doesn't necessarily lead to culture. I think culture in your team and in your program is huge. And, you know, we finally settled on what we call strike the rock, which is just, you know, trying to get the guys to realize that, you know, you can hit a rock 1,000 times and nothing happens, but the 1,001st blow cracks it. That's not the blow that something special happened. It's a cumulative effect of paying attention to every single day, every single action, every single, whether it's a defensive slide, to every single study hall you got to be at, to any of those things. And that's a culture thing for us. I've tried to stress to our guys that it's not just hashtag strike the rock on social media or on a T-shirt or, you know, what we say out loud. It's how we live and how we exist day to day. And that's a culture. And that's a lot different than, like you said, a catchy slogan that can vanish, you know, the first thought, the first sign of adversity, or if this group leaves and the next group doesn't like those four words in a sentence, so they change it to something else. And I did that myself as the end coach, changing it up. But we just needed to find a culture and identity, and I think we found that. And that leads to everyone being on the same page as far as expectations of how you conduct yourself, expectations of how hard you work, expectations of how you play. And once you get that, and it's not just me cracking a whip and saying, oh, that's violation of Article B, Section 7. It's the other guys in the locker room. It's a feeling. It's a community that they're responsible to each other. And that culture takes you a lot farther than slogans.
I love what you said there, Kip, because, you know, when I was at Linfield, and of course, I get chastised, believe it or not, people are so petty nowadays. And I'm calling them out. I get chastised because I interview you. I mean, that is about as ridiculous as it gets. And those people can go to you-know-where as I'm concerned. But I was going to say, when I'm at Linfield, was at Linfield 68-72, that seems like just yesterday, there was a culture there. It wasn't arrogance. It wasn't like we have no respect for the opponents. It just was a culture of winning, and I love the term culture. I love what you said there.
And I like I said, that's an evolution for me. You know, I'm not smart enough to come up with that myself, but talking to successful coaches across sports, across levels, that's the word, and that's what they were able to establish, which I think can start with a great set of words together. You've got to live it, and you've got to do it, and that, you know, that's why we've been able to keep Strike the Rock and keep it going forward, and the guys buy into that's our data. That's how we live here. If a recruit asks what happens with Willamette University Bearcat Hoop, I hope that our guys tell them, let's strike the rock every day, and hopefully that carries forward to their tests, to their academics, to how they treat their roommates, you know, all those things.
Kip, we're close to being out of time, but we got to get in your question to me.
Absolutely, we do. Now, let me ask you this, Grant. How have you seen? You know, like you said, you're very experienced. I won't say old. We'll say experienced. But what has been the evolution of USA basketball in your time? Where it's at now with Coach K through some darker times in the early 2000s? What has always been your impression of USA basketball, and where does it kind of fit in the hoops landscape? Because it's kind of a standalone thing. It's not really college. It's not really pro. What are your opinions and ideas about USA basketball?
I'll give a little different answer. I think that we have made the game beautiful internationally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
okay.
people have copied us, and they love what we do here. And we always hear about the people that hate us. Well, I got news for a lot of people. There are people that love this country around the world, and I think they love our sports, and they love our basketball. And basketball would not be an international game without the great USA.
I'm with you. Love it. Completely agree.
Kip, have a great rest of the summer. We'll have you on again very soon. You're a great guest. You're a great person. It's an honor to know you, and I really appreciate the way you treat me with so much respect and your love for the game and your love for the student-athlete at Willamette.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to the next time.
You betcha. That's Kip Ion, the great coach at Willamette University. Going to have another outstanding team this year. Made the playoffs in the very tough Northwest Conference last year, and I know he's looking for bigger things this year. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll be back next Wednesday night, same time, with another great guest just like Kip. Good night, and make all your free throws.